Welcome, fellow Last Places, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where I talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And on today's episode, we will be discussing episode seven of Andor, which is the seventh episode of the series. I don't know why I'm stuttering on that beginning part, but you guys know what I'm talking about. So going into that, just like we start every episode, pretty much there are going to be spoilers. Sorry if my voice is cracking. I was at a wedding and I don't know why it's doing that today, but it is what it is. I'm still going to power through it for you guys. And then, spoilers ahead. If you guys like the content, please like, subscribe, do all that good stuff just because it helps our algorithm, even shares and letting people know. All that stuff helps us out a lot. And yeah, let's talk about it. Episode seven. Now, we remember in the last episode with Andor, basically the episode, which was, like I said, for me was the best episode of the series. So we knew that coming into this next episode, there was going to be some things that, the aftermath of what took place there. So of the robbery, or if you want to call it the robbery, the heist, whatever you want to call it. But we knew going into this next episode that we were going to have to deal with repercussions. Obviously, things have now changed because this has happened. And we could see a little bit of that towards the end of episode six, where just like when they're in the Senate and things are moving around and people are doing certain things. We come here back to Andor to find out what he's up to since he's left, since he had that whole showdown with, but he had that, not a showdown, but basically letting her know that, I'm out of here. I did my part. I don't necessarily need to be here anymore. So let me out, not dealing with any of this, crazy things anymore, because we know that Cassian wants no part of the rebellion, period, right? So why am I, again, once I remember her name, because she is part of what we're going to talk about later. But so basically that happens. He is now heading back home, which is not the smartest move, in my opinion. I don't understand why he would even risk that. But of course, we know why he risked it, right? Because his adoptive mother is there. Cassian is a man, like, regardless of what he's doing, is a man of honor, right? So he wants to make sure that, his word is something that people can believe. And he wants to make sure that he's going to pay back those debts now that he's made that money. So it was interesting to go there because, he's willing to take the risk of, he doesn't know exactly, he hasn't had any communication since all this has happened. He doesn't know who's in there, what's in there. We realize when he gets back to Ferrax that there is a bunch of the Empire still there. They don't really consider obviously it's a big issue right now because of what happened in that sense. And now, of course, in totality, because of we had that robbery, we're seeing everyone kind of like really buckle down as far as the Empire. And I mean, you're going to see, like, I think it's really cool because now we're seeing that stranglehold that was being talked about. And now that it's kind of happening, it's kind of like, oh, this is like, they're real. Like, this is really going on. So I liked how they were still there. I like how they're kind of like patrolling that area to make sure that what happened to them doesn't happen to them again. Again, will that help them? We don't know. I mean, we do know what happens, but still. Just seeing the clamp down and going part of that. So once Cassian goes back home, he does see his adopted mother, who is basically, she has, her gun, she's ready. She's locked and loaded. She's all about, like, making sure she's safe. Cassian comes in, tells her, look, we can leave. Like, I've got enough money. He doesn't really tell her the job that he did. Right. So, and I think that's really important, especially because when we go on later, because about when she reveals what she wants to do. And she talks about that later on in the episode. But Cassian basically saying, like, I scored, I got this lucky thing, this lucky gig. Like, we're good. Like, I can pay everyone back. I can make sure that, we go ahead and we take care of what needs to be taken care of. We can go anywhere in the galaxy and we'll be all good to go. And then we see Marava basically kind of like say that she's tired. And this gave you the first initial sign, right? The foreshadow that she wasn't really trying to go anywhere, right? We don't know what her reasoning for wanting to stay is yet, but you could see in her eyes and just her body language of everything that's going on that she's not really into this plan that, you know, Cassian has. Cassian had this plan that he had to pay her back. This is his way of paying her back without really asking her about any of her opinions. How did she feel about what was going on or what was her goal? So I think, you know, it was a good way to foreshadow what we would later on find out in the episode about basic of her said goals and what's going on there. But just having that whole information and that whole scene to just foreshadow that there might be a reason here why she's not like adamant about leaving or really jumping onto his plan. So we kind of get left with them, Cassian basically saying, okay, that's cool. Like right for right now, we'll leave in the morning. I just have to go handle some business anyway, which he goes off to do, right? After that, we see that he wants to meet up with Bix because he realized during that conversation with Morava that someone sold him out, right? And basically Morava told him it was Bix's boyfriend. He clearly knew what was going on. Everyone kind of knows what was going on there. So he, you know, obviously feels some type of way about Bix because Bix is his friend. And the fact that, you know, they probably, the hint that we have is that they were, you know, doing some things, you know, were more than just friends back in the day. So, yeah, he goes off to go talk to her just to see her and basically let her know what the plan is, what's going to happen, like what he wants to do later on. Right. So we see this conversation. They have a bit of a heated argument because, you know, they're still probably not in love with each other, but they feel a certain type of way towards each other. And there's always going to be that love for each other there. So he basically is saying, look, I have my money. I'm going to pay everyone back off. Like, you know what I mean? If you don't want to deal with like, you know, you don't want to deal with this situation, basically of what's happening and how all of this went about, like, that's cool. Like, I understand. You know what I mean? Your boyfriend was the one who ratted me out. Like, and then basically he's trying to get some information on Luthen, who, you know, the one who set them up for that job in the beginning. Anyway, he wants to get some information. She says she has no idea what he's about, like what's going on. He just reached out to her about the thing and he was right that she knew all this information on him and she was okay with that. Right. So, and then Cassian says, hey, look, here's all my money. I'm paying off all these debts that I owed. Like, you know, I mean, I shouldn't owe anyone anything. So tell no one to find me. Tell everyone they can forget about me. And then Bix actually says, well, this won't be my first time. And it was kind of a dig, right? It's a dig to Cassian saying that this is not the first time that he's done something like this to her or, you know what I mean? But even with all that being said, you could see that Bix still has a care for him because as he's leaving, she even says, you know, take care of yourself kind of thing to make sure that he knows that she does care for him still. So it was a good scene just being there on Phyrex and getting all this information. And of course you could have already expected that this episode was going to be a little bit slower just because again, we just had this hype moment of the Eye episode, right? Where we had all the special effects, things like that. And then, the next episode, we need to know what direction we're going into next, right? So it's not a surprise to see an episode here where things are slowed down a little bit. We're taking in the aftermath of what just happened. We are slowly setting up what's going to happen next. And this is a 12-part series, right? So the storytelling isn't going to be as, you know, the storytelling is going to take a little bit of time. And season two of Andor has already been announced, right? So I'm really interested to see what the model of this show is going to be because Chase and I kind of talked about this. Shout out to Chase, but we kind of talked about just the whole, is it going to be like three-parter, like four-part, like episodes where they kind of have like, you have a major story part, you know, he does this thing, he does a job, like, you know, things like that. So I'm really interested to see what that's going to be like. Especially because we know what we're all going towards, right? So that's not a mystery. We know that at some point this is supposed to end, not this season, but at some point this is supposed to end with us like the scenes beginning of how we got to Rogue One. So it's going to be, you know, a lead up to that. And for me personally, I really enjoy the pacing that we're having right now, because they're able to take their time. They don't feel like you have to rush to get to these action parts. I know some people might feel that way, but again, I said this in the first like six episodes of this. I love when we can establish other worlds in Star Wars, and this is what this show does for me. So we could take, you know, for what it is. And then, as I was just saying, we did have different parts to talk about here, and we go back to Coruscant with the Public Order Resistance Directive, basically saying, you know, putting the main shutdown on the galaxy, saying like, we need to make sure we find these people who did this, because, you know, they can't just be able to walk away from the Empire the way that they did, the manner that they did it in. Like, who does this? You can't one up us. Like, we are the elite, you know, we are the elite here, and you guys are supposed to be in control of us. And in most cases, you could believe that's exactly what the rebellion wants, right? You want them to be thinking in a angry state, because when you think about it from an angry state, you kind of lose your grip on basically the order of why things worked in the first place. And because of that, this is why, you know, we might start seeing some cracks in the armor, right? So as we're getting this speech of basically saying, hey, we need to make sure we handle this like this way, we need to shut everything down, we need to make sure that people can feel a certain way, so we need to lock things up. And if you guys remember, we had Deidre, who ends up Deidre who's trying to plan things on the outside, right? She has a goal. They're telling her you can't do certain things, but she seems like she's a really knowledgeable person and just feels like everything is not working the way that it's supposed to, and feels like the Empire is handling all this information incorrectly, right? And I think they did a really good scene at that, because she's basically saying, hey, I feel like we're playing right into their hands, because at the end of the day, like, they want you guys to be, like, they want us to be upset, right? It says, you know, they're still treating it, she says, like, they're treating it like a robbery opposed to a rebellion. Like, they're not focused enough on saying that this is something that can become bigger. Like, they're just saying that this is a robbery. Like, no one would dare question, like, no one would dare try to start a rebellion against us. Like, who would even think of trying to do something like that, since we have such a stranglehold on everything, and everything in the galaxy. So she's thinking more outside of the box. She's pretty much like, listen, this is all the means of what a rebellion would be, or how a rebellion would start. Like, we can't just continue to look at these things as like single, like, appearances or single jobs and things like that. We need to look at this as a collective. Maybe this is a segue, or maybe this is the beginning of what a rebellion can be. And obviously we know she's right. So that's one of those things where it's a nice dynamic to have when you do a prequel of things, because again, we know that the rebellion is forming through these little events, right? We know that this is a thing that, because we've seen Star Wars, I mean, at least everyone listening to this, I would assume has already seen all the Star Wars, but we know that this is going to be a thing that does get created. So it's cool to see how the direction team and the writing team took that bit of information and going like, hey, you guys know this information. The people on screen don't know that this is going to happen, but you guys do know this is going to happen. So because you guys know that this is going to happen, we're still going to make it feel very much like there's a way of preventing this, and to tell the story still, in the sense of, hey, this is going to happen and she's right and you guys should have listened. I think it's a cool way to establish a character's, how to establish her smarts and things like that. So it's a really fun way of mixing up the style and things like that, so that we can understand what's going on their end. So I thought they did that really well. We also saw that one of her rivals, I forget his name, but basically tried to call her out on saying, hey, she found a way to be able to look at the information that she was not supposed to be looking at. And you know, she's overstepping, she's doing all these things. And the major is actually impressed with her, even though his tone at first is not one that is impressed. He's saying that, well, imagine if every of all you guys were like as in depth as Deidre was, because she's trying to find out what's going on. Meanwhile, everyone else is just, you know, lollygagging around. So the major actually takes her side and then gives her access to Ferrix anyway. So her going behind their backs and trying to make sure she can figure out what was going on still worked in her benefit. And it is very much like the Empire, right? The Empire is going to be this, is this entity that does respect people doing things a little bit of the shady way, right? Clearly, they, as long as they get results, that is what the Empire is always cares about. They always care about results. You can say your order and things like that, but if it's not producing results, then clearly there it's not working for them. And that's how they felt here, right? And the major is telling you like, oh, you guys can do this if you're producing things. Like, she's giving us viable information that we didn't have because we're searching it for in this way. So I think that was a really, again, another cool dig of how to pretty much give us this narrative that it seems like she's doing something wrong, but the Empire kind of wants things like that, even though they're not saying it flat out. So I thought that was a cool scene. I loved the interaction that they had after that, where he tells her to watch her back. And he basically says, well played and watch your back. Like, because he knows that just because you're thinking of, you did this backstabbing and things like that, like, you're now putting a target on your head, right? So because you're putting this target on your head, you need to be paying attention. Make sure you're watching your back, because now people see you as this person who is, you know, ascending, and they're going to want to bring you down. That's basically what the Empire does. And we've seen that in so many different situations. So that scene where Major basically tells her, watch your back. It's a really good one, because he knows what it's like to be the person who's trying to get all this information and look good and do your job. So it's nice to hear that experience telling, you know, a new person. And we know that he thinks highly of her too, right? So it is nice for him to have this relationship where he's just like, you need to be careful. You're doing great, but be careful. So we also, in this episode, had Mon Mothma, which, you know, if you guys remember, she was, the last time we saw her, she was doing the Senate, where she was trying to deliver her speech, and she couldn't because everyone was talking about the actions that happened during the robbery. So we see that she does show up to Luthen's to, you know, say that, to find out what this information, what's going on, why did all this happen? And basically, this is a great, great scene, because Luthen is basically telling her in code, like as a salesman, of all of the things that she's asking him. Like, were you a part of this? What did you do something like this? Like, you know what I mean? And just basically having this conversation and still being a salesperson, which I thought was awesome. And then still being able to switch back into the regular character. But things like, you know, he basically saying like the Empire is choking us so slowly, we've started not to notice. Like, and I think that line is so great, because it's like, we are so used to being in the situation that we're in, that we're not even saying that this is a wrong situation anymore, because it's just become the norm. And I think, you know, again, there's going to be that shady side, right? There's that shady, dirty work of the rebellion that, you know, the Star Wars movies don't show you, right? They show you Luke, they show you Han. Even Han obviously was, you know, a little bit of the, like, you know, like a thief and things like that. But like, they don't show you these cutthroat moments that the rebellions had to have, right? Because it's just something they don't show. And I think it's great that this show is showing that, because that was very much Rogue One, right? Sending in a suicide squad in order to, you know, obtain this information. Like, they knew, the rebellion knew that they weren't going to make it. They knew that there was a part of them that was not going to be able to make this mission. So seeing that in our first six episodes was fantastic, because now we know what we kind of expecting in this tone and in the show. And then for Luthen to basically give this information saying like, look, we need to be able to make things work. We need them to to be crazy. And then that's the thing that I liked, because remember, Deidre was saying that, like, we're playing right into his hands. Luthen confirms that by saying, yeah, this is what we want. We want them to be stir crazy. We want them to feel like, you know, something is brewing, because, or like, you know, to, so that way they can scatter, they can be all over the place. They can try to, you know, use all their resources in order to do certain things. So this is basically going exactly to plan. And I finally remembered her name. It is Val. That's who I was talking about earlier, but we see that, you know, that conversation, it's a really strong one, right? It's a really heated conversation, because even though we have two characters who are trying to both figure out this rebellion and make it work and how we're going to make it work, we can see that there's two different approaches to this, right? There's still the, like, the, yes, they're both they're trying to have the same result, but at the end of the day, the approaches are completely different, right? Because Luthen's in a point where he's just like, I'm done with, you know, the politics of this. Like, I need action, and I want this to happen because I'm tired of feeling like there's this huge stranglehold on us and we cannot, you know, flourish like as people under this empire. So I thought that scene was amazing. We found out that Luthen's character, basically his assistant, what's her name? Clea, she basically is there, and she actually goes and meets up with Val. And you can see she was really angry about it. And she kind of alludes to that in that conversation on why it is, because she was just basically saying, like, you know, making any form of communication, this ain't a good thing. Like, we need to prevent making forms of communication in any means, because who knows who could be listening, who could be watching. They're trying to be really safe with all that information. And then basically we see that at the end of that conversation, Clea basically says, hey, listen, like, Val's looking for, you know, where's Cinta, things like that. And Clea's just like, look, she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. And you're kind of not, but basically I have this new mission for you. I need you to kill Cassian. So now we see something else that is going to, you know, prevent Cassian from having the normal life that he wants. Luthen's whole thing behind that is basically like, listen, he's a loose end. We can't have any of that. So let's avoid having any of that. So it was a nice little convo between them. It wasn't nice at all, but you know what I mean? It was an interesting in-depth conversation about what was going on and how we're going to proceed into these next episodes. And then we've seen a conversation with Mon Moth, Mon Mothma, who basically is going to start this game now that she knows what this is, what the stakes are now, and what Luthen is doing. She's having a party. She's basically having these conversations. She has a good friend there with Tay, who basically, you know, is hinting at having this conversation about saying, like, I don't fully believe in what the Empire is doing. And Mon is a very smart character, and I think she noticed that and noticed that this would be the way of telling someone else, I need help to be into this in this information, right? So she wants to tell someone else, even though she doesn't know who she can trust. She feels like she could trust her lifelong friend. And he basically gives her the incentives and like the body language that she was right. She proceeds to tell him about the plan. She doesn't want anyone else to know. She wants to access her funds so she could start this, she wants to start to access her family's funds so she can start funding the rebellion in the way that she wanted to do it. I like that we had a little sneakiness to the episode. We don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, but we can see the desperation is starting, right? Because she knows what Luthen's plan is, and she kind of wants to make her plan work the way that she does. And then she did have some good lines there, right? Where she says a line like, I've learned from Palpatine, I'll show you the stone in my hand, you'll miss the knife at your throat. Like, just some cool stuff like that. And then she says, as long as everyone thinks I'm an irritation, there's a good chance they'll miss what I'm really doing. Things like that, really hinting at what she wants. And we do find out about her character later on, but still, the way that she's being portrayed here is fantastic. I loved every scene she's in. It was very believable because you could see the hardness, the basically just, I'm tired of being in this situation myself and I want these things to work. So maybe Luthen was right. Maybe we do need to get a little bit more cutthroat, things like that. So I thought it was pretty cool. And then we saw one more pretty great moment where we see Cassian basically is in on the beach acting as a tourist, and he runs into the KX droids, which K2, if you guys know, in Rogue One, is my favorite droid. And I thought this was going to be the moment that they met. Clearly we're not there yet, but this was a nice little tease for us, right? So this is a way that they did meet. Their first meeting, the first time they met was in a Marvel comic. It's called Cassian and K2. It's a special if you guys want to see how they first met. So this will probably like hinted at this. So I was here for it. I was excited. I was a little too excited because, again, K2 is my favorite. I just think even that short time that we had with him, he was so much fun. Just like his mannerisms and everything in Rogue One. Again, I held Rogue One in high regard. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then I'm excited to see what we have next in the next episode. And hopefully before the season finale, we get to see K2 and Cassian meet. We find out that he had 6 years in prison for something that was supposed to only be 6 months. Overall, episode was a good one. Again, coming off of all of that, you know, emotion and hype and everything that happened in the last episode, I can understand why we got it a little bit slower of an episode here. Overall, I thought it was a good episode, a nice episode to, you know, reset things and put everything back into the place so we can move forward. So overall, it was good. I'm all in for this series. I'm enjoying it. Next week, we're going to have Tales of the Jedi, which is going to all come out at once. And then I'm going to drop a review for that. I believe Chris might be joining me for that one. We'll see. If he doesn't, I will, like I said, I'll have it for you guys. Don't worry. And I still owe you guys some other episodes of things that ended last week because I haven't dropped those, but I will. I promise. So again, thank you guys for all your support and everything you guys do. Just make sure, like I said, if you guys do like the content, like, subscribe, review, and send me some feedback, guys. Let me know what you guys want to hear. I like to hear those things just so, you know, I'm giving you guys what you want and, you know, putting out the content that you guys want to hear. So again, I appreciate you, all of you who listen. Until next time, Fire Team out.